God told me three things to tell you tonight. I was trying to get it right, so I'll tell you what they are, one at a time, and we're going to look at some verses to cover it. Maybe I'll tell all three. Here's the three things that he wanted to tell you tonight. First thing is a question. What if everything you say happened? What if everything you say happens? Every single thing you say happens, no matter what it is. Would you be more careful with your words? Would you add words? Would you say some more things than you're not saying now if everything you say happens? That's the first thing. The second thing that the Holy Spirit said to raise the issue of is what we receive from God is not based on what God can do. Can God do a lot of stuff? Yeah, and what we receive through prayer or confession by faith is not based on God's ability. Have you noticed that God can do a lot of stuff and a lot of stuff winds up not getting done? It's not based on what God can do. We'll find out what it's based on. And the third thing is that God says as much by what he doesn't say as by what he does say. So be careful about what we call presumption, where the silence of God, you take that as an approval, as a go-ahead. Let's start. Now, when Jesus showed up on planet Earth, you'd have to say that he's the most unusual person that ever existed, right? I'm sure there was nice guys around in his day. Probably grandpas that everybody liked, you know? Grandmas that everybody loved. People in town that had a pretty good reputation of being a gentleman or gentle person. There's probably some godly people hanging around too. Throughout history, there's a few people that knew what God was like. Noah, Abraham, Moses, David. Some people knew God better than others. Jesus was unique for one main reason. He absolutely knew what God was like, and even though there was a lot of godly people around, and even though there was a lot of people that were nice people around, when Jesus showed up, the difference was this. He was just a really nice, he said, love your enemies, you know, love each other. That was really nice to say, right? The unique thing about Jesus is he shows up and he said, you guys don't know what God's like. They go, what? How can you tell us? We've been serving God our whole life. We've got all the law. We've got all our history. We've got our ancestors. We've got family stories passed down. And Jesus said, you don't know him. You think you know him, and you don't know him. This is what's unique about the angels. They know God. And what do they do about it? They worship him. They sing songs. They are waiting. God, just tell me what to do, and I'll go do it. But they're limited. They just can't arbitrarily hang out on planet Earth and walk around looking for something to do. And think, I think I'll help that person, or I think I'll help that person over there. Or, like, I don't feel like doing anything today. But, no, they, at the direction of God, they want to get it right. And God gives them a command, and they go forth and carry it out. And the rest of the time, they're in relationship with God. So Jesus shows up, and he knows what God's like. And he knows what God likes. Because it's what he likes. Now I'm going to read a verse out of the Message Bible, which is a paraphrase, of Matthew 12, 34 to 37. So You probably won't see it in your NIVs or King James. But in the Message, it says this. You have minds like a snake pit. How do you suppose what you say is worth anything when you are so foul-minded? It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. An evil person is a blight on the orchard. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. Ephesians 5, 6 in the NIV says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. I wonder what empty words are. God's not too pleased with empty words. So apparently we can have empty words. The Message Bible says, empty words is the talk of a salesman. What if everything you said happened? I mean, factor in time, okay? What if everything you said happened? What would you say? If you knew what you said was going to happen, what would you say? Huh? Godly things. I'd throw in a chocolate malt, probably. I'd probably move that cloud out of the way that's going to ruin my picnic, but what if everything you say affects the spirit realm? What if that is true? What if both the positive and negative things come into reality in the spirit realm when you speak them? If you were on the other side of this life in heaven and could see angels being dispatched or angels being called back based on your words. What if you're believing for healing and you're standing in faith and confessing that I am the healed of the Lord? I am the healed of the Lord. I'm the healed of the Lord. Angel is dispatched, walking up your sidewalk, just ready to push that doorbell, and they hear, this ain't working. So he doesn't push the doorbell. Got to take it back. Got to take the healing back. Apparently, they don't get to do what they want. They have to do things that are God words. They can't do things against the word of God. That would be a really bad idea. They can only do God words. Well, which words are God words? See, a lot of Christians started a couple hundred years ago, actually, by a guy named Calvin, not Klein. And he didn't, not a cartoon character. He came to the conclusion that everything that happened in life was caused by God, and that you couldn't do anything about it. You couldn't get saved. God decided if you were going to be saved or not. So don't mess around witnessing to people because you don't need to. If God's going to save them, he'll save them anyway. So it's really, you really don't have to witness to anybody, because if he wants them to, sometimes God made hell babies that were going to grow up and go to hell. Sometimes he decided to make saved babies. Nothing you could do about it. So you never have to really use faith, technically. You just accept whatever comes along. Oh, by the way, if you're Muslim, they also believe that. It's up to Allah. If the terrorist blew himself up and he didn't get quite across the street to where he was trying to get to go, well, Allah wanted him to be blown up before he got there. They just say that everything that happened was Allah. Well, that's what the Calvinists did too. But a lot of groups, a lot of groups, a group I grew up in, believe that. A lot of churches believe that. And they come up with all sorts of ideas on why God doesn't do anything. Why doesn't God do anything? What's the holdup? The holdup is that our words are real in the spirit realm, and God honors our words or not. When I teasingly said, "What if everything you said happened?" you don't know it doesn't. You don't know that you just set in motion something. I'd be real careful about setting anything into motion that you didn't want to meet farther down the road. In Numbers 14, you remember this story. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "How long must I put up with this wicked community and its complaints about me? Yes, I have heard the complaints the Israelites are making against me. Now tell me this, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say." What you said, what were they saying? "He brought us out here to die. We're going to die. We're going to die in the desert. We got away from Egypt. We're all just going to die. There's giants in the land." This is out of the New Living Translation, verse 29. "You will all drop dead in this wilderness because you complained against me, every one of you who is 20 years old or older and was included in the registration will die. You will not enter and occupy the land that I swore to give you. The only exceptions will be Caleb and Joshua. You said your children would be carried off as plunder. Well, I will bring them safely into the land, and they will enjoy what you have despised. But as for you, you'll drop dead in the wilderness, and your children will be like shepherds wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. In this way, they will pay for your faithlessness until the last of you lies dead in the wilderness." Your kids are going to pay. I'm not going to kill them, but they're going to pay. "Because your men explored the land for 40 days, you must wander in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for each day, suffering the consequences. Then you will discover what it's like to have me for an enemy. I, the Lord, have spoken. I'll certainly do these things to every member of the community who has conspired against me. They will be destroyed here in this wilderness, and here they will die." He said, "I'm going to do exactly what you said." He said, "But I will make an exception. Your kids will suffer, but I am going to save them and then take them in. But they're going to pay 40 years for your failures as a result." One of the Psalms of Moses in the book of Psalms, they all weren't written by David, was a complaint that man's life, what is man's life but 70 years? And well, maybe he would get 80. And so we've come up with this false idea that a man's lifespan would be 70 years. And if they're really good or really lucky, they might get an extra 10 tagged on to that and clear 80. That was a complaint of Moses. If you carefully read that psalm, it was a complaint of Moses because they were under penalty in that psalm, and he was complaining that they were dying as young as 70 and 80. They had 40 years to clear out everybody above 20. That means a 21-year-old would be 61 when they died at the very latest. They would all be gone, but a 30-year-old would have to be leave by age 70 because they're all going to be gone in that 40 years. He was complaining that they were dying prematurely at 80 years old. A complaint. But that was part of the process. God said, I am going to let your words be what you live. In Galatians 6:7, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Do we all agree? He reaps what he sows. He sets things in motion, and the consequences affect him. You remember when Jesus was telling the parable about the four kinds of soil? And the four kinds of soil that the seed would land on. And he said, really, the four kinds of soils are four different kinds of people. And the way they receive the Word of God is the seeds, Jesus said. He said, that's the seeds and the words are the same. Right? Remember that? Words are like seeds they produce. Well, God's words out of our mouth are God's seeds planted, right? They are, of course. So, really, all of the words out of our mouth are sown in the spirit realm. All of them are. I want to have angels operating full-time between now and when Jesus Christ comes for us for the rapture. I don't want to get to heaven and say, wow, you know, we were waiting for you to say something. All you had to do was ask. And God the Father would have sent us out. Well, we didn't know. We could have stopped some things that happened to you, but our hands were tied. We stopped a little of it, but we couldn't stop the whole thing. Why not? There's spiritual laws. Usually, the words that I regret are the words that come out quickly and impulsively. Because if I have any time to consider them and think about them, some words just never come out. Of course, last night at the domestic violence class, I always share about Levi, how he has a hesitation, a slight fraction of a second hesitation before he answers. And your brain reacts so fast that I know that in that split hesitation, he's processing multiple options, multiple outcomes. So he's selective, and you think, well, he doesn't say a lot. And you think? Well, why would that be? Because he's limiting some of the things that are going out. Do you think Jesus had a lot of things that he said that really didn't matter, that didn't amount to a hill of beans, that really weren't important? I suspect that every word Jesus said carried power and was important. There's a lot of times that Jesus didn't answer. People think, well, that's rude. Jesus, time and time again, they came and asked him stuff. He didn't even look at him. Even important rulers asked him questions. Are you the Son of God? Should we stone to death this woman? What do you say? He didn't. He didn't say anything. Bunches of times. And we feel like we're required to respond to everybody and everything around us. Jesus didn't. They were upset with him for not releasing his words. On the cross, he said, I can call for how many legions of angels? I can't remember. Do you remember? I don't know, seven. Who knows? I'll pick a number. Seven legions. That's tens of thousands. He said, I can call on that many legions right now. I'm glad he didn't. Had they delivered him from the cross, that was it for us. But he could have. Angels ministered to Jesus in the garden, even though he had the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. Angels ministered to him after 40 days of temptation, even though he had the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. He could have called tens of thousands of them. Your words are more powerful than you can imagine. If you could see what happens in the spirit realm when you pray by faith within the will of God, you'd pray a lot. If you could see the angels dispatched at your prayers that are in love, in the will of God, by faith, you'd bump up your prayer life. If you could see, by the gift of discerning of spirits, the activity that takes place. One of the afternoons during prayer, during our revival, we were talking about releasing the angels to go out for, I think it was finances that day. I saw them leave. You know how fast they left? It's like, they left so fast. They shot outward through all these walls so fast, it was a blur. You could not see them just kind of float towards the wall and kind of go through the wall, you know? As soon as we were done with that prayer, for a moment I saw in the spirit realm, they shot out all the walls in every direction at high speed. That surprised me. I wasn't expecting to see them. I wasn't looking for them. That vision lasted less than a second, but it told me something. They shot out and they took off, and I thought, that was fast. Well, how fast do you think they travel? If the third heaven exists and they go back and forth to heaven, exists outside of the known universe, we've got little devices that can measure the universe that it would take 13 billion light years to cross it. Light years, 186,000 miles per second for 13 billion years. That'd be a long time if you're waiting 13 billion light years to have your prayer answered. Or if they would have to go at God speed, because light, the speed of light compared to God's speed, doesn't even look like it's moving at all. You know, it's like when you're at work and you don't have the second hand on your clock, the seconds hand, you just got the hour and the minute hand, and it's like, no, it's not moving at all, but it is. It's moving. Light looks like it's standing still compared to God's speed. Oh, we're running out of time here. Okay, the first thing tonight that Holy Spirit wanted to get settled in you was, where did it go? What if everything you said happens? How do you know it doesn't? I'm telling you, your words go out in the spirit realm and produce. You are sowing and you will reap them. Number two, what we receive from God is not based on what God can do. God can do anything. No. He limits himself. Do you remember Matthew 9:27-29? As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." You know what the Message Bible says? Become what you believe, is what he said. Jesus said to them, become what you believe. Matthew 9, verse 20. Just then a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, said, "Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was healed at that moment. He didn't say, "Hey, how'd you like that one? Did you see what I just did?" People think that because God is so powerful that he can just do whatever. He won't. It's not based on his ability. It's based on your belief. I don't like it that way. I want God to make the decisions for me. And he just, "God, you know, whatever you think is good, I'll just kind of hang out. And you just kind of do whatever you think is good." You know how many angels are released by that? That prayer called whatever? Whatever, God. Yeah, like they can really act on that. That's a very, very specific definition of what we're supposed to do. "Honey, immediately after church, I want you to do whatever. And I needed you to do it immediately." Don't disappoint me. I know, doesn't work, does it? We don't receive based on what God can do. We receive based on what we believe. Well, what do we believe? We believe his word is true. We start acting on that truth and speaking it forth. And the third thing, God says as much by what he doesn't say. Don't assume that if you're seeking God and he hasn't said anything, that you just push along with your plans. Don't assume. That's presumption. If there is a delay, or as the timing is off, you might be met with silence. So Keith Moore was sharing an illustration. He said, what if a friend came to him and said, "Hey, there's this investment deal. It's really great, and we got to go listen in on this this event we have to go to. I want you to go with me. It's going to be so great. And sit with me, and we'll go through this." So they go and sit there, and the whole time Keith doesn't say anything, sitting through this presentation on how you need to invest so much money and get this out. And afterwards, they're leaving and going to the car. Keith's not saying anything. And then you get in the car and you're driving home, and the guy says, "Well, what'd you think?" And Keith goes, "Well, what's that mean? Wasn't really too excited about that, right?" We do it. If you're not hearing from God in an area, don't assume you can't hear from God. His sheep hear his voice. You do hear from God. "Well, I know, but I'm just not hearing from God right now." Well, maybe you are. How loud is that silence? Yeah. Move ahead when the Spirit of God tells you what to do and what to say. "Well, sometimes I don't have very much of a leading at all." Well, is it in the Scripture? Is it okay? I mean, "Well, I don't know whether I should help this person out or not." Well, some things are within his permissive will too. But if it's a big deal and you can't hear from God, I wouldn't move on that one yet. "Yeah, but you don't understand. We have a deadline." God doesn't have deadlines. God's got plans, but not deadlines. So the third thing the Holy Spirit wanted to say was, listen to God, and if he's not saying something, remember the old hippie poster, you old hippies, that said, "If you do not understand my silence, you will not understand my words." Remember that? Anybody? In other words, in a relationship, if you don't understand their silence, you're not going to understand their words, because it says as much. We have the Word of God, and he speaks to us through the Word, but the specifics about your life and what you're to do and when you're to do it, that's a biggie. You might know on the inside what you're supposed to do, and you try to step out on it, and you go, "I just got nothing." The will of God is always two parts, what and when. If you get the what but mess up on the when, you miss the will of God. If you get the when exactly right but do the wrong thing, you also messed up. So when you're following the will of God, you got to know the what, you got to know the when. Sometimes the silence of God is all about timing. Because if he tells you and you're quick to obey, he might have to delay if you're a quick to obey person. Some of you are off the starting blocks before the pistol goes off. You're in the water at the diving event. The issue is that some of you really want to serve God and obey him. He can't afford to tell you if you're a do this in 2 years. When I hear the silence of God, I don't assume God's not talking to me, because I hear his voice. He talks to me all the time. If I ask him about something and I'm met with silence, I go, "Okay. I'm trying to move in this direction, but he won't talk to me about it." Why won't God talk to me about that? He talks to me about everything else. Get a clue. If you're trying to move that direction, but you don't have it clear, just assume God knows what he's doing. And don't assume he's cut you off from communication. His silence is important. Boy, if you just look to all the silence verses throughout the Bible, I was just overwhelmed by it. I was Bible Gatewaying is what, the words for God being silent. And it's like, there are so many verses that God different people with silence for different reasons at different times. I thought, get a clue. Get a clue. Shall we go up and attack this army? They said in the Old Testament. They were met with nothing. Was that a good time to go, let's go anyway? No, no. They want to go forward at the word of the Lord. Okay, so those three things, what if everything you say happens? It does. You plant seeds for it. Number two, what we receive from God is not based on what God can do. It's based on, be it unto you in your faith. And number three, God may say as much by what he doesn't say in your case of getting the leading from him. And pay attention to the silence. It's not that God is shutting you out. He wants to make sure you land on as close to his perfect will as you can get. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your words tonight, for the leading of the Holy Spirit in showing us these things and encouraging us. May we do what you want us to do. May we always do what pleases you. Always. We always do what pleases you. Hallelujah. We always do what pleases you. We always do what pleases you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus' name. We always do what pleases you. Get those words out in front of you. Get those words operating ahead of you. And then live right into them.